Rachel staff bays. Ma'emasai korinesh ma ba'arvim. Ishaasha kohanim nechnasim lechol b'chumosan. Ad sofa ashmura harishona, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. From when, that is, from what time, does one recite Shema in the evening? From the time when the Kohanim enter to partake of their truma. Until when does the time for the recitation of the evening Shema extend? Until the end of the first watch. The term used in the Torah to indicate the time for the recitation of the Shema is b'shochbecha, when you lie down, which refers to the time in which individuals go to sleep. Therefore, the time for the recitation of Shema is the first portion of the night, when individuals typically prepare for sleep. That is the statement of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim Omrim Ad Chatzos. The rabbis say the time for the recitation of the evening Shema is until midnight. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Ad Shi'ale Amud HaShachar. Rabbi Gamliel says one may recite Shema until dawn, indicating that B'shoch B'cha is to be understood as a reference to the entire time people sleep in their beds, the whole night. Maise ubanu banov mibeis hamishte. Amru lo, lo karinu es shema. Amru lehem, im lo ala amur ha-shachar, chayevin atem likros. Velo zu bilvad, amru, ela kol ma she-amru chachamim ad chatzos, mitzvat san ad she-yale amur ha-shachar. The Mishnah relates that Rabbi Gamliel practiced in accordance with his ruling, and there was an incident where Rabbi Gamliel's sons returned very late from a wedding hall, and they said to him, as they had been preoccupied with celebrating with the groom and bride, we did not recite Shema. He said to them, if the dawn has not yet arrived, you are obligated to recite the Shema. Since Rabbi Gamliel's opinion disagreed with that of the rabbis, he explained to his sons that the rabbis actually agree with him, and that it is not only with regard to the halacha of the recitation of the Shema, but rather wherever the sages say until midnight, the mitzvah may be performed until dawn. Hector chalavim v'ayvarim, mitzvah san ad sheyale amur ha-shachar. V'kol ha-ne'echol l'yom echad, mitzvah san ad sheyale amur ha-shachar. Im kein lama amru chachamim ad chatzos, kedei laharchik adam min ha-avera. Rabbi Gamliel cites several cases in support of his claim, such as the burning of fats and limbs on the altar. Due to the quantity of offerings each day, the Kohanim were unable often to complete the burning of all the fats and limbs, so they continued to burn into the night. As it is written, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall remain upon the pyre, all on the altar all night until morning, while the fire on the altar burns it. Vayikra, Vav, Bet. And with regard to all sacrifices, such as the sin offerings and the guilt offerings that are eaten for one day and night, although the sages state that they may be eaten only until midnight, by Torah law they may be eaten until dawn. This is in accordance with the verse, on the day on which it is offered, you must eat. Do not leave it until the morning. Vayikra Zayin. If so, why do the sages say that they may be eaten only until midnight? This is in order to distance a person from transgression, as if one believes that he has until dawn to perform the mitzvah, so then he might be negligent and postpone it until the opportunity to perform the mitzvah is already passed, too late. Gemara, Tana Hecha Koi, the Ketani Me'emasai. The Mishnah opens with the laws concerning the appropriate time to recite the Shema with a question. Question is, from when does one recite the Shema in the evening? But with regard to this question, the Gemara asks, on the basis of what prior knowledge does the Tana of our Mishnah ask? From when? It would seem from his question that the obligation to recite Shema in the evening has already been established, and that the Tana seeks only to clarify details that relate to it. But our Mishnah is the very first Mishnah in the Talmud. But two, Mashna the Tani Ba'arvis Bereisha, Lisnei de Shachris Bereisha. The Gemara asks, and furthermore, what distinguishes the evening Shema that it was taught first? Let the Tanna teach regarding the recitation of the morning Shema first. Since most mitzvot apply during the day, the Tanna should discuss the morning Shema before discussing the evening Shema, just as the daily morning offering is discussed before the evening offering, according to Tosfot HaRosh. Tana akra koi, dikhsiv b'shoch b'cha of kumecha. V'hachi kitani, zman kriya shema d'shchiva emas. Nisha asher kohanim nichnesim la'achol b'tshumasa. The Gemara offers a single response to both questions. The Tana bases himself on the verse, as it is written, you will talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk along the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. In Devarim Perek Vav, by teaching the laws of the evening Shema first, the Tana has established that the teachings of the oral Torah correspond to that which is taught in the written Torah. And based on the written Torah, the Tana teaches the oral law. When is the time for the recitation of Shema, of lying down, as commanded in the Torah? From the time when the priests enter to partake of their truma. Just as the Torah, the written Torah, begins with the evening Shema, so too must the oral Torah begin with the evening Shema. The Ibai Zema. Yalef mi briyaso shalom. Tichsiv vayi'erim vayivoker yom echad. However, there is another possible explanation for why the Mishnah opens with the evening Shema rather than with the morning Shema. If you wish, you could say, instead, that the Tana derives the precedence of the evening Shema from the order of the creation of the world. As it is written in the story of creation, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. From Bereshit Aleph. According to this verse, day begins with the evening, and not the morning. For both of these reasons, it was appropriate to open the discussion of the laws of the recitation of the Shema with the evening Shema. Ihachi, Seifa diktani v'shachar mavarech shtayim lefaneha v'achas le'achareha v'erev mavarech shtayim lefaneha u'shtayim le'achareha lisnei de'aris bereisha. The Gemara asks, if so, why does the latter clause of the Mishnah, which appears later in the chapter, teach, in the morning one recites two blessings before Shema and one blessing afterward, and in the evening one recites two blessings before Shema and two afterward? Based upon the above reasoning, the Mishnah should have taught the blessing recited before and after the evening Shema first. Tana pasach ba'arvis, v'har tani b'shachris, adekai b'shachris, parish milei d'shachris, v'har parish milei d'arvis. The Gemara answers, indeed, the Tana began by discussing the laws regarding the recitation of the evening Shema, and then taught the laws regarding the recitation of the morning Shema. Once he was already dealing with the morning Shema, he explained the matters of the morning Shema, and then explained the matters of the evening Shema. Omamar, Misha Sheh Kohanim Nichnasim Le'echol B'Trumason, Michti Kohanim Emas Ka'achli Truma, Misha Tzeser Kochavi, Lisni Misha Tzeser Kochavi. The Gemara proceeds to clarify the rest of the Mishnah. The Master said in the Mishnah that the beginning of the period when one recites Shema in the evening is when the priests enter to partake of their Truma. However, this does not specify a definitive time. When do the priests enter to partake of their truma? From the time of the emergence of the stars. If that is the case, then let the Tana teach that the time for the recitation of the evening Shema is from the time of the emergence of the stars. Milsa agav orche kamash milan, kohanim emas ka'achli v'truma, mishas tesu kochavi, v'har kamash milan de kapar lo ma'akva, Kedetanya uba hashemesh v'tahir, bias shimshol me'akavto mile'echol b'truma, ve'ein kaparaso me'akavto mile'echol b'truma. The Gemara responds, indeed, it would have been simpler to say that the time for the recitation of the evening Shema begins with the emergence of the stars, but the particular expression used by the Tana teaches us another matter in passing. When do the Kohani partake of their truma? From the time of the emergence of the stars. And the Tana teaches us a new halacha, parenthetically. Failure to bring an atonement offering does not prevent a priest from eating truma in cases where an impure priest is required to immerse himself in a ritual bath and bring an atonement offering. Even if he already immersed himself, he is not completely ritually pure until he brings the atonement offering. Nevertheless, he is still permitted to partake of truma. Taught in passing in our Mishnah, this is articulated. Taught in passing in our Mishnah, this is articulated fully in a brisa, based on a close reading of the biblical passages, as it was taught in a brisa. With regard to the laws of ritual impurity, it is said, one who touches it remains pure until evening. He should not eat of the consecrated items, and he must wash his flesh with water. And the sun sets, and it is purified. Afterwards, he may eat from the truma, for it is his bread. That is from Vayikra Perek Kafet. From the passage, and the sun sets, and it is purified, that the absence of the setting sun prevents him from partaking of truma, but failure to bring the atonement offering does not prevent him from the partaking of truma. This may be inferred. Omamai dehayu b'hashemesh b'yes hashemesh dehayu b'detahir tahar yoma. The Gemara discusses the proof offered in the Braisa. From where do we know that the phrase "and the sun sets" refers to the complete setting of the sun, and therefore it is purified, refers to the fact that the day is pure, i.e., and the sun sets, and it is purified, is one phrase, meaning that the sun will set, the air will clear, and the stars will emerge. Amud Bet. Dilma bias orohu, umay v'tahar tahar gavra. Perhaps the expression, and the sun sets, and it is purified, refers to the very beginning of sunset, the setting of the sun's light. According to that explanation, what does the expression "and it is purified" mean? It means the person will become purified. After immersing, he will wait until the beginning of the sunset, and only then will he be able to eat of his truma, according to Tosfot. Amar Rabba bar Rav Shila, im kein lemakra v'yithar mai v'taher tahar yoma kede amri inshi i'arav shimsha v'idaki yoma. Rabba bar Rav Shila said, if so, that "and it is purified" means that the priest goes and purifies himself, then let the verse say unambiguously, "and he will become purified." Since the Torah does not employ that language, the conclusion is, what is the meaning of the expression "and it is purified"? It means the day is pure. No residue of day remains. As people say colloquially, the sun has set and the day is purified. V'marava ha-dirava v'arav shela lo shemilu u'ba'o la mi'bayo. Hai u'ba ha-shemesh b'yas shimshahu u'may v'tahir tahar yoma o'dilma b'yas orahu u'may v'tahir tahar gabra. In the West, Eretz Yisrael, they did not hear this explanation given by Rabba v'arav shela. They raised the dilemma. Does the expression "and the sun sets" refer to the actual setting of the sun? And does "it is purified" mean the day clears away? Or perhaps it refers to the setting of its light at sunset, in which case, what is the meaning of "it is purified"? That refers to the purification of the person. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, they attempted to clarify the halacha based on the biblical passage, but they were not able to do so. V'hadar pashtula mi'braisa. Midikatani v'braisa, siman l'davar, tseisa kuchavim. Shma mina bias shimshahu, umay v'tayr tahar yoma. Ultimately, they resolved this dilemma from a braisa. It was taught in the braisa that the time for the recitation of the evening shma corresponds to the time when priests are permitted to eat of their truma, a sign for which is the emergence of the stars. Therefore, derived from here, "and the sun sets" refers to the complete sunset, and the expression "it is purified" means that the day clears away, as the sages of Babylonia had concluded. Amar Mar, Mishasha Kohanim Nichnasim Le'echol B'Trumasa, Uriminu, Me'emasai Koin Es Shema Be'arbi, Misha Ha'ani Nichnas Le'echol Pito B'Melach, Ad Shah She'omeid Nipater Mitoch Si'udato. In our Mishnah, the Master said, the beginning of the time for the recitation of the evening Shema is from the time when the priests enter to partake of their truma. The Gemara raises a contradiction to this opinion from a brisa that states that the time for the recitation of the evening Shema is from when a poor person enters to eat his bread with salt until he rises from his meal. Seifa vadai pliga amasnisa. Resha milema pliga amasnisa. The Gemara begins its analysis by clarifying whether there is an actual contradiction here, or whether different expressions are being employed to describe the same time. The latter clause of the brisa, which established that the time for the recitation of the evening Shema ends when a poor person rises from his meal, certainly disagrees with our Mishnah, since the poor person clearly does not continue eating until the end of his third watch. The third watch, I should say. This brisa certainly contradicts our Mishnah. With regard to the first clause of the brisa, however, which establishes the beginning of the time for the recitation of the evening Shema, shall we say that it disagrees with our Mishnah? Lo, ani v'kohen chad shi'urhu. The Gemara immediately rejects this idea. No, the time when the poor person eats, and the time when the kohen is purified and permitted to partake of his truma, are one and the same time. Urimin. The Omer, v'hayu lanu halayla mishmar v'hayom melacha. The Gemara raises a contradiction from the Tosefta. From when does one begin to recite Shema in the evening? From the time when people enter to eat their bread on Leil Shabbos. This is the statement of Rabbi Meir. As they do in our Mishnah, the rabbis say, from the time when the priest, the Kohanim, I should say, are eligible to partake of their truma, a sign for which is the emergence of the stars. And although there is no explicit proof that the emergence of the stars is when one may begin to recite the evening Shema, there is an allusion in the book of Nehemiah to the fact that the emergence of the stars is generally considered the beginning of the night, as it is stated with regard to the building of the walls of Yerushalayim, and we perform the work, and half of them grasped their spears from dawn until the emergence of the stars. This is Nehemiah, Perek Dalet. And it says that in the night they may be a guard to us and may labor in the day. Also Nehemiah, Perek Dalet. From here we ascertain that the day ends with the emergence of the stars. My V'Omer, before even analyzing these sources, the Gemara seeks to clarify a confusing element in the Tosefta. In their biblical proof, the rabbis do not suffice with one verse, but rather they say, and it says, and they cite an additional verse. What is added by the use of this, and it says? It seems superfluous, as the entire proof appears in the first verse. V'chitema miki arva shimsha. Leil Yehu v'inu demachshechi umakdami tashma v'hayu lanu halayla mishmar v'hayom melacha. The Gemara answers that the first verse was not sufficient. As if you say that the night begins when the sun sets, but the workers stayed late and arrived early, i.e. due to the importance of their task, they worked even into the night. In anticipation of this objection, the second verse was cited to teach. Come in here, as it is stated, that the night that in the night they may be a guard to us and may labor in the day. The time between the dawn and the emergence of the stars is explicitly referred to as day, proving that night begins with the emergence of the stars. Kasalka daitach da ani ubnei adam chad shi'uruhu. V'i amart ani v'koin chad shi'uruhu, chachamim, hainu Rabbi Meir. In analyzing the three opinions regarding the beginning of the period for the recitation of the evening Shema, the Gemara begins with the supposition. It might enter your mind to say that the time when the poor person typically eats his meal and the time when ordinary people eat their Shabbos evening meal are one and the same time, since in both cases, those eating would seek to begin their meal as early as possible, as, for different reasons, they are unable to kindle additional lights to illuminate their meal. And if you say that the time of the poor person's meal and the time of the Kohen is purified and permitted to partake of his truma are one and the same, then the opinion of the rabbis is identical to that of Rabbi Meir. What is their disagreement? Ella, Shema Mina, Ani Shi'ur Lechud, V'Kohen Shi'ur Lechud. Lo, Ani V'Kohen Chad Shi'ur, V'Ani Ubrei Adam Lav Chad Shi'ur. Rather, what we said previously must be rejected, and instead learn from this that there is a separate time, a separate time for the poor person, and a separate time for the Kohen. However, this conclusion is based on the assumption that the time of the poor person and the time of people are the same. That too could be rejected with the assertion that no, the time of the poor person and the Kohen are one and the same, and the time of the poor person and the people are not the same. Accordingly, the opinion expressed by the Tana and our Braisa is identical to that of the other Tanaim, and only Rabbi Meir disagrees with them. V'ani v'kohen chad shiro u'rimenu. V'ayim asai maschil l'ikros shema b'arvi. V'shah shekadash hayom b'arvi shabasos. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer. V'shah shekohanim mitoharin le'achol v'trumasim. Rabbi Meir Omer. V'shah shekohanim tovlim le'echol b'trumasa. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'halo kohanim mi be'od yom him tovlim. Rabbi Chanina Omer, v'sha she'ani nichnas le'echol pito v'melach. Rabbi Achai v'amri la Rabbi Acha Omer, v'sha she'rov v'nei adam nichnasim le'haseiv. And is the time of the poor person and the Kohen the same? The Gemara raises a contradiction to this approach from another braisa, in which other opinions regarding the time for the recitation of the evening Shema are cited. From when does one begin reciting the evening Shema? From the time when the day becomes sanctified on the eve of Shabbos. This is the statement of Rabbi Eliezer, who established an earlier time for Shema. Rabbi Yehoshua, like our Mishnah, says, from the time when the Kohanim are eligible to partake of their Truma. Rabbi Meir says, the time for the recitation of Shema begins before the priests were purified, from when the priests immerse themselves in order to partake of their Truma. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, how is it possible that the time for the recitation of the evening Shema corresponds with the time of the Kohanim's immersion? Do the Kohanim not immerse themselves during the day, so that with nightfall and the onset of a new day, they will be purified? If so, how can that time be called night? Rabbi Chanina says that the time for the recitation of the evening Shema begins when the poor person enters to eat his bread with salt. But Rabbi Achai, and some say Rabbi Acha, says, from the time when most people enter to recline at their meal during the week. V'i'amart ani v'koin chad shi'iru Rabbi Chanina, haynu Rabbi Yehoshua. The preceding was the text of the braisa. Returning to our question, if you say that the time of the poor person and the Kohen are one and the same, then the opinion of Rabbi Chanina is identical to that of Rabbi Yehoshua. However, the fact that they are cited separately indicates that they are not the same. Ela lav shma mina, shi'ur d'ani l'chud, v'shi'ur d'kohen l'chud, shma mina. Rather, must one not conclude from this that the time for the poor person is separate and the time for the priest is separate? Since no objection is raised, the Gemara concedes. Indeed, conclude from this. Hey minayhu ma'uchar, mistabra de ani ma'uchar, d'i amart d'ani mukta v'chanina hainu rabbi Eliezer elalav shma mina d'ani ma'uchar shma mina. Having established that the time of the poor person and that of the priest are different, the Gemara seeks to determine which one is later. The Gemara suggests that it is reasonable to conclude that the time of the poor person is later. Because if you say that the poor person is earlier, it will be impossible to establish a time earlier than that established by Rabbi Yehoshua, unless we hold the night begins with sunset. In which case, the opinion of Rabbi Chanina is identical to that of Rabbi Eliezer. Rather, one must not conclude from this that the poor person is later. The Gemara notes, indeed, you can conclude that. Amar Mar. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Bahalo Kohanim Biba'od Yom Him Tovli. We learned that the Master said in the Braisa that the time for the recitation of the evening Shema, according to Rabbi Meir, begins with the time of the immersion of the Kohanim. Regarding this, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, do the Kohanim not immerse themselves during the day? Shabbaka Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. The Gemara notes, what Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir seems correct. And how can Rabbi Meir respond? Rabbi Meir's response is connected to the fundamental dispute over when the night begins. After sunset, a period begins which is neither day nor night. The Tanaim disagree over the precise duration of this period, known as twilight, Bein Hashmashos. Rabbi Yehuda holds that twilight extends a full hour after sunset. Rabbi Nehemiah agrees in principle, though he disagrees over the specifics. Rabbi Yossi maintains that twilight is very brief and occurs immediately before the emergence of the stars, which marks the beginning of the night. Regarding Rabbi Meir's argument, Rabbi Yehuda asks that since the priests immerse themselves before twilight, they have a long wait until nightfall. Clearly, their immersion takes place while it is still day. Rabbi Meir, hachika amalei. Mi sabra da'ana abein hashmashos didach ka'ameina, ana abein hashmashos de Rabbi Yossi ka'ameina. Da'am Rabbi Yossi abein hashmashos ke'harafayim. Zeh nichnas, zeh yotzei. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Meir said to Rabbi Yehuda as follows. Do you maintain that I am speaking of your definition of twilight? I am speaking of Rabbi Yossi's definition of twilight. As Rabbi Yossi said, twilight is like the blink of an eye. Night begins and day ends. And the time between the two is so brief, it is impossible to quantify. According to this opinion, the Kohanim immerse themselves just before the emergence of the stars when it is already considered night. End of that phase.